Hello, everyone, and welcome to Success Shorts. I'm Arul Chanel. Today, we're joined by Denise Chisholm. Denise is a sector strategist at Fidelity Investments, and she may be familiar to some of you because she can regularly be found on Bloomberg and CNBC offering her unique brand of thought leadership. Denise and I return to her skeptic roots, and we have a fun chat where we explore how they've helped her throughout her career, and more specifically, how skepticism has helped her navigate the recent chaotic times. So I hope you enjoy our time with Denise Chisholm. Let's go. Denise, it's so great to have the chance to catch up with you again.
It's great to be here. I'm always happy to talk with you.
The last time we spoke was probably right around the start of COVID, if I remember correctly. So I'm curious. I'd love to know what you've learned about yourself during the time since.
I think it was just around that time that this all started. That's a good question. I think that I seem to be plenty happy not leaving my house a whole lot. And I do think that COVID has really felt very different for introverts versus extroverts. So maybe my more introverted nature has actually been a slight benefit over the last couple months.
I appreciate you sharing that. And as an introvert myself, I kind of agree with you with that because I've actually enjoyed some of the seclusion that this has afforded, not having to drive into work and just going in and sitting at a desk because I had to, as opposed to being at home in my own environment where I can really kind of thrive in some ways. And I know that that's a privilege that I have that not everyone does. So I'm very grateful for that. But it is definitely a silver lining. So thanks again. And I know that you look through things through a really unique skeptical lens. And this has really been a year where skepticism has probably benefited you more than other years. So I'm curious, how have you been leveraging skepticism to deliver results professionally during this period that's been fraught with COVID and civil unrest and congressional bickering and, you know, the highly charged election that we just went through? Like, how have you been able to take that and really help you focus in on what's important with all the noise that's also happening at the same time?
Yeah, I think you hit on a number of points there. The narrative, as you laid it out, really felt very heavy in 2020. And there are no parallels and there are no analogs and there are no historical references. And it feels for everybody completely different this time. And I think that that lack of defined framework for people caused a lot of both internal and external chaos. And I think that's very true. There never are any analogs, and there also never is any defined framework. And I think that's especially true when it comes to investing. I think hindsight really is 20/20. So I think when you sort of look back through this year, when you study history, in that context, you really have to allow yourself to use the art of the historical lesson without feeling completely ungrounded by a complete lack of parallel.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting in some ways when you have people trying to relate something that no one's ever been through to other things, and that's how they're trying to define how they should react to stuff. And then when things don't go that way, it flusters them. It causes a lot of angst. And I feel like it exacerbated a lot of what's been going on, because we don't have that reference point. And because we don't have that reference point, we actually don't have that sense of control, maybe, that we normally feel like we have with certain things. And I think that's really one of the keys that's made things very uncomfortable during this time.
I agree completely with that. And I think that while it feels like there are times in our life when we have control and it feels less like that in 2020, the truth is, especially with, you know, investors who are by their nature have to step into being uncomfortable, you know that there's not a lot of control, certainly from a market perspective.
One of the things that is unique about being a skeptic is the ability to just question things and sometimes question things constantly if you're more of a moral skeptic. But if you're a local skeptic, you try to key in on questioning the right things. So I'm curious, how have you leveraged that during this period, this unique narrative, to help focus in on the right things since we don't have that historical framework to focus on? And how do you feel like that's differentiated you most recently?
Yeah, I think being skeptical, just in general, what we were just talking about is how different it is feeling ungrounded and then attempting to say, well, wait a minute, there is something to learn from history. And I think that that skepticism is, look, for an investor, an incredibly useful tool that allows you, as much as you can humanly do it, to really be evidence-based and not to be ruled by emotion. So your question, which is essentially what the skeptic poses, which is a hypothesis, and then maybe it is similar to history in some ways. Then you go off and you gather evidence, which is essentially research, and then you come to a conclusion based on that research. So in some ways, skepticism, I think, helps you pause and then prove the thought out to yourself first. I think it's that second step that really makes it different from being cynical in nature. And just, it's a more sort of tongue-in-cheek description, a skeptic, of really just critical thought.
I completely agree with that point that you were making. So it's almost like skepticism, in this sense, almost flows into like a form of stoicism. So it allows you to take that step back, and then it reframes you to, okay, well, what are the things I can control in this moment? And that's where the more analytical components come into play, especially in this discussion where you're referring to investments based off of what you do. Like, how can you peel that back? So one of the things that I wanted to hit on that is a little bit unique is a lot of people tried to put this COVID period into the framework of different things that we've been through, tech bubble, financial crisis. I mean, you name it, but it doesn't necessarily fit. But I think that the historical framework of the financial crisis is actually an interesting thing to look at when looking at this COVID period, because the financial crisis gave us a framework as to what would happen if the world almost ended from an economic standpoint. And then how does that apply to what we're going through now with COVID? Do you have any thoughts as to how the financial crisis kind of gave us an insight into this is like the worst it can get, and COVID potentially being something that we could bounce back from a lot easier than that?
I think that's a great way to think about it. I think all investors want to echo back to the last crisis and find some grounding in that and think about it on a similar basis. And as much as there are certainly similarities to recessions, I think it's really critical to highlight the differences. And I think you brought up how different it was. I mean, just factually, the consumer in 2020 was very underlevered versus being massively overlevered on both a debt service basis and a debt basis. And company profits, as we entered, you know, this year, 2020, weren't contracting as they were, as even as we approached the recession and that started in 2007, but lasted 18 months. And then I think the most important and significant difference versus the last financial crisis versus the great financial crisis was that the government and the Federal Reserve acted quickly versus then they took over a year to get stimulus to the economy back in 2009. Investors forget that we entered recession at the end of 2007. The Recovery Act was actually passed in 2009, but even then the stimulus didn't come until much later that year. And then into 2010. So there were some key differences that I think we had to sort of step back and think about the impact on the stock market as it related to it.
Yeah. And also at that point, you know, think about Ben Bernanke and his ability to maneuver it because of his reference point back to the Great Depression. But at the same time, he was hitting into something incredibly new back then because we didn't know how much we could actually spend while in a deficit at that point. Whereas now, I think we realize that we can deficit spend and it's not going to be the end of the world and it's not necessarily going to cause our economy to collapse. Is there something there that I think that we're a little bit more comfortable with now that's helped us during this period versus back then where it felt a lot more scary that that was just going to lead to the end of everything?
Yeah, I mean, I think to your point, I think the similarities and differences were in some ways acute. And I think what we learned from 2009 or a financial crisis was that tipping point of how important it is to act quickly to stabilize a financial system and really to sort of diminish the risk reward as much as possible for a deflationary spiral. Which I think that the lessons learned from 2007, 2008, 2009 were maybe we didn't do that fast enough.
Now that you know that you can do it, you can hop in with a little less fear in the unknown, knowing that it can work. And I actually think that they've done a really good job when you think of, you know, Chairman Powell and how they handled all this versus the delay that happened last time. That's just, I mean, a personal opinion, but hey, I'm allowed to feel what I want. So another thing that I want to hit on, and this is going to take us away from investments a little bit and focus more on how we live our lives a little bit. And I love thinking about skepticism and contrarianism through the lens of how it applies to us as just how we live our lives and how it can really help us detach ourselves from all of the noise that's going on. So when you think about how you've maneuvered through the past, whatever, 9+ months or whatever it is now that we've been going through this, how have you personally, when it comes to your relations and how you're feeling in a given day, use skepticism to kind of detach from that emotional roller coaster and regain a little bit of control?
Well, I think it's critical that you do. So I don't think that you always do it 100% of the time, but that's certainly worthy of striving towards, because every crisis, whether it be personal, financial, a recession, an internal crisis, it feels very unstable, very much like a roller coaster. And I think that, you know, not to bring it back to investing, but the quote that always has resonated with me, and I can't remember who said the quote, but I used it in one of my presentations, the only one who gets hurt on the roller coaster is the jumpers. So I think it's a great lesson, which obviously comes through in investing, but to find some way to feel grounded when there is turmoil around you, I think is critical.
It's really easy to kind of get sucked into what's going on, because when you're in the moment, it's just really hard to detach, because it's not just one thing that has you in the moment. It's like it has you cocooned in this web of a singular feeling, and it's being reinforced along the way. What I really think skepticism just simply allows you to do is say, why? Why does it have to be this way? Why? Going back to like the kid mentality of when they ask their parents, where does this come from? Or why is it like this? And they can't grasp it. There's almost like a liberation that happens when you approach things from that mindset, because it allows you to take you out of the moment and view it in its whole, as opposed to trying to view it from the inside where you can't see all the outside parts. And if you're able to do that, then you can see the market differently. You can see your life a little bit differently. You can start to see the opportunities that you were missing just because you asked yourself, why are you continuing to go down this road? Why are you continuing to allow all these external forces pull you in this direction? So I think it's just a natural pivot then to conclude with, you know, a little advice for those listening. How could they start to foster a little bit more of a healthy skepticism in themselves so that they can manage all the different inputs that they have coming in to transfer that into more healthy outputs in their own life?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head with the always question and why. So I think the first point would be curious. And I think that that's one of the other differentiating factors between skepticism and being cynical. You know, you want to be open to various points of view, to various arguments, and everybody else's data. And then you turn all that into a discovery process, essentially, for yourself to determine your own point of view, your own arguments, based on the data that you find conclusive. And I think the second part, along with that be curious, that's really important is don't guess. It's really easy in life and certainly in investing to sort of go with your intuition. And it's especially easy to attempt to theorize when somebody like yourself asks you for advice. But if you don't know the answer, just say you don't know and then go figure it out by being curious.
I like that. Skeptics and cynics, they both ask why. But it's, why are you asking why? Are you asking it just to question without any basis? Or are you doing it because you're curious, as you're saying? You want to understand, is there a better road to travel based off of a situation? We have access to so much information. Yet I feel like we get into our little echo chambers where we go to the same sources for all of our information. I think a great thing from a skeptical viewpoint is that question, why do you keep going back to the same sources all the time? Are there potentially other sources that you can be looking at that could provide a little bit more information or better inputs to influence, as I mentioned, those outputs, how we act, how we feel? All those things are influenced by what we take in. So I think we should start to question, what are we allowing to come in to influence that as well? Denise, as always, this has been a lot of fun. So thank you very much.
It was a great discussion. Thanks for asking me.
Most definitely. And that's all we have for this episode of Success Shorts. Hopefully you found today's topic useful. And remember, have fun, stay curious, and keep it short.